From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
Sue Hickey's the Speaker of Tasmania's Parliament, member for Clark, but also former Lord Mayor of Hobart, who's spent as much time as anyone thinking about congestion issues. Sue Hickey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
And so you saw this city deal signed over the weekend and you were involved in much of the lead up to it.
Up until when I got elected.
Is it a good deal for Southern Tasmania?
Look, I think it's like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. There's some really good things in there. Like, I'm really happy that we're going to get our own customs back here, because that means Tasmanians can fly out without having to go through Melbourne and Sydney. It'll also be good for business. I think that's an excellent move. Terribly disappointed in the homeless. I can only refer to it as a small donation. We have such a crisis in homelessness, and certainly something we're seeing out in the electorate of Clark, where, you know, various reports say we're 5,000 homes short, but crisis homes we're probably 3,000 short.
So this deal provides $30 million for 130
new homes. I think, you know, the government could have, if they were really serious, the federal government could have looked at seriously at waiving the $15 million a year recurrent debt that we have. And I call upon all senators of all backgrounds to challenge the government to release that, Louise Tasmania, from that debt. It goes back to the 50s and 80s, I think. And, you know, for that money, we would get an extra 50 houses a year, year on, year on, year on, instead of wasting it on interest back to the federal government. So to me, a city deal, my understanding when I did all the work as Lord Mayor, and I did lots. I went backwards and forwards to Canberra. I went over to Cambridge, which the city deal model is based on. And just to give you an example, Cambridge, which obviously the population is much larger, but they addressed issues of connectivity and lifestyles of the residents. So they built a $30,000 home setup, and then they added all of the they're in the process of building all of the light rail and the freight and everything that goes around that. And then you need sporting grounds to keep people in the area. Now, my problem with this one is, yes, $25 million for the light rail, whether it's trackless trams, whether it's buses, whatever, we own that corridor. We don't want more reports. The way the traffic has been dealt with here is nothing happens when it gets into the city. The bottleneck still happens in the actual city. So a light rail would take cars off the road. A ferry would take cars off the road. You know, that's a park and ride at somewhere on the Eastern Shore and down at Kingborough would take cars off the roads, and that's what we've got to address.
Does this deal address that in your...
I don't believe so. It sort of seems it's got all these other great ideas, and then it sort of stops in the middle, and the city will be, you know, just swamped again. But like, we've done up the bridge, what's the road that goes out to Glenorchy?
The Brooker Highway.
Brooker Highway. Is that I was thrilled about that, because it made a huge difference to my transfer from Rosetta into the city every
single
day.
So this is things like the Elwick Road intersection, for example, in at Bunnings.
Wonderful. But now that's getting increasingly congested. And we can see when school holidays come, you know, congestion drops by 7%. And so we can all go, oh, great. So I think we have to address the things that keep the cars out of the city, not building more roads into the city.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, Leon with you this morning. Sue Hickey's our guest, Liberal Party Speaker, and person who thought about this from the perspective of Lord Mayor. What about the criticism that it feels like a grab bag of individual ideas rather than a coherent narrative that is focused on the people who actually live in and around Hobart?
Well, I guess that's a fair criticism. I don't want to criticise the whole city deal. You know, we're getting money that we've never had before, and particularly the electorate of Clark, which takes in most of these areas, plus if you take in a bit of Franklin, has never got really anything out of the federal government except when Andrew Wilkie had the balance of power. So, you know, we're not a main focus of federal government. We haven't been getting the funding that I believe a great city like this deserves. So the idea of the city deal is to have those three tiers of government working together. Now, that's a start. It is a lot of money, whether it's actually all going in the same direction, you know, that it should be for the livability of the people of the city and for it to grow and prosper over another 30 years. I was interested in Harvey Lennon's comment. We need to be viewing everything, every investment, as a 20, 30-year investment, not these short-term fixes that just relate to terms of politicians.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, Sue Hickey's our guest this morning. Let's say good morning to Paul in Harrow. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You wanted to comment, Paul?
Well, I'm just having my breakfast this morning, and I was a bit gobsmacked at the comments of the fellow with regard to the new bridge or potential bridge starting next year. No the discussion that you kept raising with him about rail just didn't seem to be very high on his agenda. I mean, this city is only going to continue to grow. It's a long, skinny city, and it's getting longer, and it's, you know, the thinness is part of its the natural sort of geographic of Hobart. Brighton will continue to grow like there's no tomorrow. I mean, 25 years' time, where's Brighton going to be compared to what it is now? No rail. He's inviting more cars to come across a bigger, broader, probably four-lane bridge into the city, and people and there'll be nowhere to put the cars when they get there.
As a social justice issue as well, does Bridgewater engage Brooke? I mean, it's well and good for Christy Johnston to argue for light rail to her community's doorstep, but beyond that, as a social justice issue, making sure that Bridgewater and Gagebrook can be connected on this light rail line and get people into university and work and the things
hopefully
that you need to do would seem to be something that shouldn't be left to perhaps the old Bridgewater Bridge, which will need to stay in its place from the design that we can see at the moment.
So that's for their expectation, to leave the old bridge there and use that rail line.
Mm. Paul, that seems to be how it's playing out to me at the moment, but I'll stand corrected if someone would like to join us, and we've put in calls to the Premier this morning to come on and talk about that. Suhiki, the opportunities for light rail, are you convinced by them in your mind?
Absolutely, because look at the amount of cars coming in through that way now, and they're coming from Brighton, they're coming from New Norfolk, they're coming from Claremont and all of these outer regions. But we've got the same problem coming from Clarence, you know, when you want to get up from Sorell. And this is why I think it was disappointing that the UTAS didn't get funding as well, because the UTAS model of moving into the city was to allow children or school kids to go on to further education, to actually see university as part of their education. But when you're living in New Norfolk or Sorell and it's two or three bus trips to get down to Sandy Bay, which has a totally different culture, you know, it stops that connect to higher education. And so to me, that was extremely disappointing.
Let's talk about Macquarie Point. Mm-hmm. There is
at last.
Yeah, there is. Well, but it talks a lot about the need to develop a plan for Macquarie Point. You would think that 10 years or say 7 years after this was first seriously discussed, that work would already have been done. So
yes,
here we are.
I find that extremely disappointing. I think we've been talking about Macquarie Point since Andrew Wilkie got the money, which I'm thinking is 7 years ago or something like that.
So what does the sort of discussion about Macquarie Point in this light rail deal, or rather in this city deal, tell you about where Macquarie Point's up to in terms of becoming a realised vision?
Well, I think having the Antarctic section, not all of it I think will move there, but certainly having access to and from it from there will also open opportunities for the other side of the harbour to have some great movement and architecture, etc.
Potentially, but IMAS have just built, I mean, the university just built a huge IMAS building. They're not going to move that.
You've they won't move that, but CSIRO is very tired, and whether that's in the right place is another issue. But the Antarctic is huge money. You have to know that there's only five gateways to Antarctica and we're one of them. And so to stay competitive against New Zealand, we really need to have a modern airport and connectivity to Antarctica.
We'll leave you to it. Thanks for coming in this morning.
You're most welcome.
About to go to news. Just before we do that, any movement in your mind on the issue of political donations?
There's a lot of talk in the background. There's going to be one first move, which is to fix it up for the Mercury and all sorts of media that's public paper. But that's step one, and I think there'll be a lot of pressure after the reviews.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in Tasmania's Parliament.